You Never Let Go by Matt Redman. I put that on a group pretty quick to say, learn this song. So that's the first time they've done that song. First time they practiced it was this morning. Anointing was upon them. But it says, through the calm and through the storm, in every high and every low, Lord, you never let go of me. He never lets go. Even when you're caught in the middle of the storm, he never lets go. Never. And knowing that, we can raise our hallelujah in the middle of the storm. Amen? When you don't think sometimes that you can't take another step, or that you can't stand and hang on any longer, trust in the fact that he never lets go of you. Never lets go of you. Jesus expects faith from us. The unwavering faith in God. That is what's going to help us overcome the storms in life. You can open up to Mark chapter 11, Mark chapter 11, verse 22. It says, Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. We all face storms in life. No one sails through life without any difficulties. I know I haven't. What is important is not how bad the storm is, but how you are going to respond to it. You can either respond in fear or faith. Kenneth Copeland says, fear tolerated is faith contaminated. The Word of God tells us, do not fear. Don't be afraid. Turn to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. He never lets go. He's joined you with his right hand. The Lord goes before you. He is with you. He is in you. Greater is he that is living on the inside of you than he that is in this world. Back to Mark. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And this is where it is. The disciples are in a boat with Jesus. Okay? Mark chapter 4. Look at verses 1 and 2. It says, and again, he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables. He had to get back and get out of the congestion in the boat so he could preach to the multitude. So remember, how you respond to the storm is important. You can either respond with fear, like the disciples did, or with faith, like Jesus. Go to verse 35. Mark 4, verse 35. The reason I went to the first scripture was to let you know he was already in the boat. Because sometimes when you read this, and I would start with it, you'd say, okay, where'd he come from? Well, he was already in the boat. He'd been in the boat all day, preaching all day. Not for 45 minutes or 60 minutes. All day he was preaching to them. Makes for a long day, folks. Okay, verse 35. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let's go over to the other side." Jesus gave his disciples a command to go to the opposite shore. It was a word of promise. They will surely end up on the other side. That's what Jesus said. He said, "Let's go over to the other side." I didn't hear, "Can we go to the other side, guys?" Mm-mm. Verse 36. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, because he was already in there. And other little boats were also with him. And a great storm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was filling. The waves were blown so high that they were actually higher than the sides of the boat, and they were filling it quickly. I did a little bit of research on them boats, and there wasn't much protection, and they were pretty high, so when you think of how high the sides of that boat were, and all those boats that Jesus were in that day, you could put about maybe 17 people in. Not big people. When I researched that, it wasn't big people they were talking about. But it fit 17 people. How do I know that? Well, a few years back, when the Sea of Galilee, it seemed to lose a lot of water. There were some guys walking on the shore, and they loved to look for things. And they had never found one before. They found a boat. They found a boat. Now, there's a lot of theories that went up about that. But it was amazing to see that they found a boat, and they took so much painstaking effort to get that boat out and retrieve it. And it's on display. It took them like 10 years to get this thing ready for display so that people would see. Now, there's not much of it there, but there's enough of it there that with now, with computer animation and stuff, I don't know if you see, they can just make something and bring it to reality because they have information that you're able to put into the computer. Just amazing. I know you really didn't care about that. Verse 38. But Jesus was in the stern, the back of the boat, asleep on a pillow. He was tired from a long day of preaching, folks. Remember, he was human. He had a body like us. He got tired. So Jesus was sleeping. But he was totally relaxed. He was waiting to be awakened upon the arrival on the other side. But can you imagine? That boat had to have been rocking. It had to have been sloshing back and forth. Denny, you've been out there in Erie when it starts going crazy. How about you, Nick? You guys have been in boats. It can be wicked. But this was no ordinary storm either. It was an intense storm. Why? Because on the Sea of Galilee that day, in that boat, was an extraordinary person. Jesus. And we know someone wanted to take him down. But also in that boat were the disciples, And among those disciples, at least four of them were seasoned fishermen, like Denny and Nick and Timmy, you know. And they had seen storms before, and they heard it and got to shore. No. Anyhow, they had seen storms before, and they had survived them. They knew what to do in the storm. But this was different. And they were afraid. Their knowledge, skills, and experience were no longer able to help them. They went into what we call the panic mode. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Okay, here's the definition of panic: sudden, uncontrollable fear or anxiety, often causing wildly unthinking behavior. Jesus, hey dude, get up! Don't you see what's happening? We're going to drown out here. That's panic mode, folks, I'm telling you. They needed help. But no, what'd they do? They pushed the panic button. Over here, pushing the panic button. All they had to do was go over here and push the easy button. I mean, he was right there with them. Verse 39. Then he arose, and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. The Greek word for peace here is siopeo, meaning quiet sea. And then you have where it says, "Be still." The word still is phimao, meaning silence. Reduced to silence, to muzzle. Be silent. Verse 40. After he gets done speaking to it, he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and sea obey him?" Think about the storms in your life, the situations that cause you great anxiety. You can either respond with your own efforts, just like the disciples did, or with faith in the power of God to calm the storm, just the way Jesus did. Quiet, be still. He spoke to it. "Why are you so fearful?" Where's the faith, guys? See, we have two options. We can worry and assume that Jesus no longer cares, or we can resist fear and put our trust in him. When you feel like panicking, stop. Look at it and push the easy button. Call on Jesus. Push the easy button. Don't push the panic button. Because panic button takes you off in all kinds of different directions. Your thinking goes out of control. Push the easy button. Jesus demonstrated that we needed to speak the will of God as he did. Quiet, be still. He got up and he rebuked the wind and the waves, and everything died down immediately and was completely calm. Now he spoke to it in faith. It. When you speak to the wind, do you think it hears you? When you speak to the water, do you think it hears you? It sure does. You're speaking to it in faith. You speak to a tree, tell it nobody can eat fruit from you no more. That tree doesn't stand a chance. Words are important, folks. Words are important. He spoke to it in faith, knowing that God would make it happen. And he was confident, and his faith was unwavering. See, there's authority and power in Jesus' words. And he got the power through the Holy Spirit within him. You and I have the same Holy Spirit with the same power on the inside of us. How much of that power are you tapped into, though? Are you tapped into taking the minimum 120 volts? Or the highest known number that they can register is 25.5 million volts. That's the instrumentation can only go to that point. So how much are you tapped into? Because you get 120. I bet you can get so much more power with the baptism of the Holy Spirit in you. But you know what, to make it all complete though? Because in electricity, you have to make a complete cycle. And it has to be grounded. You need to be grounded. You need to be grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where your faith should be grounded. It takes proper grounding. Proper grounding. You must be grounded. Because it's not going to work. I haven't seen a light work yet that if it doesn't complete that circuit. Am I right, Doc? Lift the ground. Them outside receptacles don't work, do they? You got to get an electrician to go over and help your daughter out then, right? Grounding. Proper grounding. Jesus has shown us the key to overcoming the storms in our life. And it has, excuse me, and it has nothing to do with the storm. It has everything to do with our heart. Jesus expected something from his disciples. He expected faith. See, it was not the first time that the disciples saw Jesus do a miracle, though. They didn't remember that Jesus had just cast a demon out of a possessed man. Or they didn't even remember that he just healed a leper. They forgot there was a man who was paralyzed, who was lowered through a roof in front of him, and he got up and walked away. And there was a man in the synagogue with a withered hand. Jesus said, stretch out your hand. And when he did, it was made as whole as the other hand. Wow. You imagine? Wow. What did the Pharisees and them do? What's he doing? Healing on a Sunday. Well, he not only healed on Sunday, he healed every day of the week. So just remember that. Every day of the week. You call on Jesus, he brings healing every day. Push the easy button. Jesus expected them to trust their heavenly Father just the way he trusted him. He had his absolute trust in God, and that's why he was able to keep on sleeping through that storm. He was confident, knowing that his Father was watching over him and was completely in control. That is why he was so at peace. He knew he wasn't alone. And he knew he had never been alone. You're never alone. He never lets go. Never lets go of you. And if he never lets go of you, you should be able to raise a hallelujah That's when you raise your hallelujah. But the disciples, they didn't have such faith. And that's why they were filled with fear. That's why they were filled with fear. Faith in God would have overcome their fear. Because faith and fear cannot dwell in our heart at the same time. Notice that? And Jesus says, why are you so afraid? Where's your faith? Where's your faith? In other words, you are afraid because you have no faith in God. If you have faith, you need not be afraid. See, faith goes and pushes fear right out of the way. Just nudges it right away. And sometimes if it's standing a little bit stronger, then it, your faith, you need it built up a little bit more. You need to raise your hallelujah and go, push faith out. Push fear out, because your faith can do that. Your faith. Your faith pushes out the fear out of your heart. So the real problem for the disciples that day was not the storm at all, was it? It was their unbelief. Their lack of faith. Their lack of trust and confidence in God. Unbelief will bring fear because you are operating on your own. It's called your own self-effort. Think about that. You can only depend on your limited knowledge and experience. And His knowledge is unlimited. He created everything you see. He created. This was a place that was void. There was nothing. Everything you see, touch, and feel, He created. He created it. He created you and me. Everything. Everything was done according to His plan. Now, there's somebody here who's been trying to derail that plan for a long time. But let me tell you, He don't have no power no more. He only has what you give Him. So put your faith in God. If you have faith in God, you need not fear. Not because you are strong, but the God who is in you is strong. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. You don't have to worry about what we can control. Because the storm we are facing is in the hands of the one who is in full control. He's the one that's in full control, folks. The real issue with the problems we face in life is often not the problems themselves. It's our unbelief, our lack of faith. We begin thinking, to ourselves, is God good enough, merciful enough, gracious enough, loving enough to be bothered with our problems? Yes! Yes! But when our head starts reasoning it out, we find it hard to really trust that what He said, He will do. It's a head problem. It's our thinking. And we even get to thinking that what He has promised, will it hold true? Yeah. Yeah, those promises, they're all ours. You know, and all he wants for us, you know what he wants, Sherry? For us to simply believe. Simply be relieved. Trust in him to do what he said he would do. Now, you've heard this before, but I feel it's a good illustration here. A man falls off a cliff, but miraculously catches a branch on the way down. He begins yelling, "Is anybody up there?" An answer comes back, "Yes." "Who are you?" "I am God, and I'm going to save you." "Wonderful. What should I do?" "Let go of the branch." After a long pause, the man yells back, "Is anyone else up there?" Now, when I read that there, all I thought of was I could see God standing up there, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and they all went. What's with this guy? Simply believe. We have to believe that God is who he says he is, and that he will do what he says he will do. And for us to simply believe. We tend to believe what we see more than what we can't see. We look at the world and believe that it is more real than God's presence. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. "For we walk by faith, not by sight." The NIV says, "We live by faith, not by sight." So if you're living by faith, you're walking by faith. And if you're walking by faith, that means you're living it. We got to live by faith, folks. And if you're living by it, you'll be walking by it. And you'll be more than a conqueror. So it's faith. And we know in Hebrews 11:1 it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Do you know what was more dangerous than the storm that day? It was their unbelief. Unbelief. The storm you're in, don't waver in your faith. Don't let unbelief start to come in. Because it's devastating. See, I read where someone said, "A person does not drown because he has fallen into water. He drowns because he is not able to get out of the water." Men have been known to drown in shallow water because they believe they were in deep water. They panicked because they thought the water was deep. If they had only tried standing up, they would have realized that their heads would have been well above the water level. God has made provision for us not to drown during the storms of life. We are to trust him. Put your faith in him. He will never let go of you. You're not going down. Even if he tells you to walk on the water and you start to go, he got a hold of you. He's going to lift you right back up and put you right on top of the water where you're supposed to be. Faith walks on the water. So when you're in the middle of the storm of life, remember that. He never lets go. And remember that boat that you may be in, Jesus is in the boat with you. And he has given us also the authority to pray in his name when we need help and see that his will be done. Push the easy button. Some might say, I don't know how to pray for that. I don't have the right words. The Spirit inside you does. Pray in the Spirit. Get your head out of the equation. Get your heart into it. You heard what I said, brother. You need to hear that again. You get it in the tape. Or to see, I was like, we don't even do tapes no more. We moved on. We just do nothing but CDs. But it's on our website. It's on our website, folks. Pray in the Spirit. When you get the head out of the way and get the heart motivated, it will have that communication with God. See, because when we pray for people up front here, you aren't supposed to just be sitting there. You should be praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, I don't know what they're praying for. You don't have to. The Spirit does. The Spirit will lock it in for you. And that going around gets the Holy Spirit to really moving. And you feel like you're part of it. Because you are. You are a very, very important part of it. Prayer works. Prayer works. Tumors just don't lift out that easy. They just don't come out of your head that easy when a doctor opens up to go get them. Literally, when they pop out, it's just not amazing. It's God. Our God is an awesome God. Amen? In Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Amplified Classic Edition. Way early on, this is one of my other scriptures I used to love, and I just quote. Jesus said, "Behold, I have given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall in any way harm you." While Jesus was on the earth with his disciples, he was able to exercise power over the enemy and circumstances, not because he was God. Jesus Christ did not exercise his authority as God because on earth he put aside his divine nature. He was able to exercise power over the enemy and steal the storm, not because he was God, but because he totally put his reliance and trust on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was the source of all of his power during his earthly ministry. And we today have access to the same Holy Spirit. He trusted in God, the Father's power supply. He took on 25.5 million volts. He took on that power. While he was on earth, Jesus was living as the perfect man in complete trust of the Father. He was able to be victorious because of his total trust and reliance on his Heavenly Father. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit that he was able to overcome the temptations, heal the sick, and command the wind and the waves to be still. The Holy Spirit was the source of all of his power during his earthly ministry. And if Jesus was constantly in contact with his Father and did everything according to his will, aren't we to do the same? How do you know his will? It's right there. It's right there. You don't need a lawyer to figure it out. Read it. What's in it for you? You need to read it, though. Well, I don't understand. Certain versions you don't. Guess what? They got one that's real simple called the Easy Read Version. Really makes it simple. And I go to it a lot of times when I need clarification. So there, we need the Word. And when you're out of the Word, you become weak. Your spirit loses power. You got to keep the circuit going. You got to keep it going. You got to be grounded. You got to stay in the Word. Thank you, Jesus. So what do we need to do? We need to lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all of our hearts and all of your mind. Yeah, get your mind renewed right here by the Word. So we need to pray and experience the power of the Holy Spirit in the middle of the storm. In the middle of your storm, you don't know what to do any longer. Just start praying in the Spirit. And you'll find out when you get to praying in the Spirit, all of a sudden you'll realize you'll wake up and say, wow, that was pretty good. And I say wake up because you were in La La Land with Him. And you'll look at the clock and say, I prayed for 2 hours? Wow. But you notice you'll have a peace. You'll have a peace. And that peace came because God was listening to your spirit. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, again it says, now this is the Living Bible. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty, you will succeed because of my spirit. I like that. You will succeed because of my spirit. Just as Jesus expected faith from the disciples, he's expecting that from us today. We need to confront our problems with unwavering faith in God, no matter what. No matter what. No matter what the doctor says, put your faith in Jesus. Let the Word have final authority. We are to respond to the storm the same way Jesus responded to the storm, trusting in God. Trusting in God. The difference between the believer and the unbeliever is not that one has faith and the other doesn't. They both have faith. Believers and unbelievers have faith. The difference between the two is the object of their faith. Do you believe God or do you believe in yourself? Are you trusting Him or are you trusting in your self-efforts? Yeah. Have faith in God. Push the easy button. Nothing is too hard for Him. Nothing. Jeremiah 32, verse 17. Easy read version. Lord God, with your great power, you made the earth and the sky. There is nothing too hard for you to do. Pretty easy, isn't it, right there? There is nothing too hard for you to do. Storm looks big in your eyes, not in God's eyes. Our problems often look so big and too hard for us to handle, but not to God. And if we would just push the easy button and ask for his help, we'll hear, that was easy. How comforting that is when you go to him with your problem and you know by faith that he's heard you and he's answered you. And your spirit says, that was easy. Now just continually trusting in him. Continue keeping your faith in him. He's not going to let go of you. He's got a hold on you. Your boat's not going to capsize. Your boat's going to really rock over, but it's not going to capsize. Jesus is in the boat with you. Remember, Jesus is with you. Boat's not going to capsize. But we need to have faith. We need to have our faith in him. See, because without faith, it is impossible to please him. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, you will fear. Isaiah 43. But now, thus says the Lord who created you, and he who formed you, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. He knows your name. He says, Tyler, he's calling you by name. Nancy, Bonnie, Floriana, Michelle, Mario. And he's calling you. He's calling each and every one of us by our name. He knows our name. He knows you personally. He says, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God. Awesome. Awesome. Come on, wake up. We're going to see. I see Bob do this all the time. I want to take a hit from our elder and use this. This is Isaiah 40. 27 through 31. Why would you even complain or whine, saying, God has lost track of me. He doesn't care what happens to me. Don't you know anything? Haven't you been listening? God doesn't come and go. God lasts. He's creator of all you can see or imagine. He doesn't get tired out. He doesn't pause to catch his breath. And he knows everything inside and out. He energizes those who get tired, gives fresh strength to dropouts. For even young people tire and drop out. Young folks in their prime stumble and fall. But those who wait upon God get fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and don't lag behind. See, it's the Word. We need to be in the Word. That's what gives us faith. And Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. It's the Word of God. So have faith in God. What kind of storm are you going through this morning right now? Are you facing a relationship problem? Are you having some financial difficulty? A health problem. You're diagnosed with an illness. Or are you facing a secret storm? Something you just can't tell anyone? Do you feel that you're sinking under this problem? Whatever you are going through, He'll never let go of you. So, say this. Come up here, singers. He's got a hold of me. And I will fear no evil. For my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Through the calm, through the storm, in every high and every low. Lord, you never let go of me. Amen. And if you believe that in your heart, then you can raise your hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. And I want the tribe to sing that song again this morning.
Thank you.
That we sang earlier. Mm-hmm.